Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I always enjoy our Fridays together. And again, beautiful weather in Vancouver.
Bob, we like to listen or go to listener questions and then take a look at some big headlines. So let's get into the listener questions. The first one's from Michael. Lengthy question here about Bitcoin and how much wealth it's sucking out of the world, or maybe putting into the world. We don't know. Anyway, it says, hi, Jim and Bob, RFK Jr., as well as other libertarian politicians, want Bitcoin freely convertible into the U.S. dollar with no tax consequences. According to Investopedia, four Bitcoin wallets currently own 2.81% of all the Bitcoin. And according to BitInfo charts, the top 100 wallets hold more than 15% of all Bitcoin. Basically, the question is, at the rate those big people are called whales, and the rate that they're accumulating Bitcoins, at some point, these top four Bitcoin holders are going to be worth in excess of $20 trillion each. Wow, that's a bit of dough.
Talking about numbers.
Yeah. Bob, he says, I'm confused. If something like this happens, then wouldn't the big 100 Bitcoin whales eventually control the financial world?
Yeah. Anyways, that's a good piece of research. And extrapolating numbers, without the stock market, I doubt that these Bitcoins would exist. They've become the big game to play. And on the next lengthy contraction, when you go into a long bear market, these things are all going to go down to next to nothing. So they're not going to replace the U.S. dollar. They're not going to do anything. They're merely a token to play in a great bull market. Mm.
Also, Michael goes on to ask, Bob, I'm confused. Why isn't anyone talking about gold this way? Well, I think it's a little harder to corner the gold market, isn't it?
Oh, no, we had that in 1980 when the Hunt brothers had cornered silver. I mean, no, you get that. Then there was the attempt by Jay Gould in 1869 to corner the gold market in the U.S., so... No, it's just a token that exists to play with in the bull market, and with the bear market, it'll go to whatever value it's worth. It's probably not much. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating to follow these things. Anyways, yeah.
Our next question comes from Chris on Rhode Island, or in Rhode Island. There really isn't an island. Isn't it funny? It's called Rhode Island, but it's not an island.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
Please ask Bob to weigh in on this long-term forecast for long-term interest rates. Some are predicting a 10-year bull market in long-term rates, and yeah. I'm curious about what Bob thinks.
Yeah. Now, let's just get the question straight. Long-term interest rates, let's say we're talking long-dated treasuries or the bond future. And then some are predicting a 10-year bull market, I think he means in price, for long-dated treasuries. And I think this is based upon the fact that air is going out of the inflation concerns. So, yeah. No, the bond market in a interest rate market in a post bubble, well, during the bubble and whatnot, is fascinating. You short dated rates like T bills go up in the boom and they go down the bust. Various times you can get a rally in the long end bonds prices, and what you have here is, yes, I think the news that inflation is going to go away is probably in the bond price now. We thought that we'd get quite a pop in the bond prices, but kind of backed off on that. I wouldn't risk any money on it. So let's say the stock market gets hit in the fall. And on previous examples, we've seen at that instant the long bond becomes the flight to quality story, and you can get a good pop out of it. But generally, what you're looking at is it's been a crazy mania for a couple of decades in issuing debt, and the street being enthusiastically buying it. And this is what happens in a post-bubble contraction: is that the sudden discovery that there's so much debt out there, it can't be serviced. So all of the low-quality, you know, high-yield junk bonds, they get marked down right down to zero when they default. And then that puts a pressure on high-grade bonds and treasuries as well. So it's going to be a world for traders, but not for investors. So our advice is to shorten maturities. For a fixed income investor, the ideal place would be in U.S. good grade corporate bonds, maybe about a 4-year maturity. You'll get a decent yield, and the risk is not that great on just a 3 or 4 year maturity. So it's fascinating market ahead of us for interest rates, and each aspect of the whole interest rate spectrum will be doing different things at different times.
Chris would also like to hear Bob's take on the Nigel Farage debanking scandal.
Oh, yeah. Farage is a very effective politician in England. He was instrumental in getting England out of Brexit, you know, the Brexit thing, out of Europe. And he is much disdained by the establishment on that. And he's a very effective politician. The Conservative Party in England has fallen apart in a manner unseen. But I think there's room for a really true Conservative Party in England. And if it's going to happen, Farage can put it together, and I'm hoping that he is. So anyways, the establishment doesn't like him, so whatever banking, and this would be his own account plus his political movement account, the people at the bank didn't like it. So they shut him down. But I saw yesterday that the head of the bank, Dame, he's been awarded a title, Dame somebody, or I've forgotten her name, she resigned, which is the right thing to do, because it was the bank acting in a political manner, which just should not be seen at all. So, Farage is a good guy to watch.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy when we take a look at some headlines.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your attention today. The first one, demand for battery metal manganese is set to explode higher.
Oh, yeah. That one rang a bell. And in the late 70s, and you had to be there, I was there, there was a whole industry built up promoting gold and silver. And then in January 1980, it reached its max and rolled over and effectively crashed. Now, that left a whole industry of promoters with nothing to promote. So they all shifted over to what they called then strategic metals, whatever they were. Oh, yeah, one of them was manganese. So anyways, at the time, I knew one of the writers at the Northern Miner quite well, and we joked and said, oh, well, let's invent a new metal called strategium for the guys who are buying things. Now, here's, I'm glad this question came up because, or the headline came up because I was going through old papers and stuff, and I've got one, quite a long article from Barron's, October 3rd, 1983, and the headline is Why Strategic Metals Have Fallen from Favor. So that was, it was the thing, as I said. So now you've got a whole industry of people promoting gold and silver, particularly silver. They love to promote silver. And I think the gold-silver ratio is going to go up, which means silver is going to underperform. And it'll be a while before everybody gets promoting gold again. They've been kind of hammered, and they've got these other pretty pennies with, you know, all the exotic stuff out there to play. So, anyways, that manganese headline got my attention because it got my memory going.
Headline, Russia seeks to work with Africa to weaken the U.S. dollar.
Oh, yeah, it's the around the world lobby to try and get rid of the U.S. dollar as the senior currency. It's not going to happen. Market forces are so formidable that the U.S. dollar is the senior currency, and it will remain the senior currency for the next few years. Now, also, if we go into another serious post-bubble contraction, one of the features of a post-bubble contraction is that the senior currency becomes chronically firm. That's chronically firm against most other currencies and chronically firm against most commodities. So that is that's ahead of us.
Now, there's a report that the BRICS, which would be Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, are set on August 22nd to announce some kind of currency backed by gold. What do you think of that?
Yeah, they're talking gold plus a basket of commodities. And if they were to do their research, they would realize that that has been talked before. They've talked about that in the 80s and late 70s and stuff like that. But history has shown that it is practical just to have a currency convertible into gold. In the early 1700s, when Isaac Newton, the great physicist, was head of the British Mint or something like that, and quite influential, they did try a bimetallic with silver and gold convertibility for a while, and then they realized it was just impractical. And then it was straight convertibility gold. So, and that, with the BRICS are talking, they'll eventually realize that forget about the commodities, go to gold. And if any one currency or this group go to gold, then the U.S. would follow. There's no question about it. So now, here's where another one instruction is that, of course, the gold bugs are going to say, oh, you got to have an ounce of gold behind every ounce of dollar or every dollar that's out there. Uh-uh. It's just at whatever the price of gold is on the day that they go back to convertibility and whatever the market is, so and it may not be at some $10,000 or anything like that. The market will have figured it out ahead of time. So
wouldn't a gold-backed currency be very volatile? Look at the price of gold; how much
it
varies in a day.
No, it's the other way around, Jim.
Is it?
Jim, no. The central bankers do not like gold convertibility because it limits their ability to, quote, manage the economy. And by managing the economy, they mean to inflate all the time because they're always afraid of a credit contraction. No, the point of gold convertibility is to manage the ambition of the central bankers, and that's why they don't like it. So under a gold standard, you still get the business cycle and you still get price changes in commodities, but you avoid the huge bouts of currency depreciation that you get when they can do only when they're off gold. So getting back on gold would be a very good thing.
Canada and the UK got rid of all their gold at bargain basement prices several years ago. Is that going to be a big mistake long term?
Oh, it has been and will be. Yeah, it is.
What was the thinking behind that?
I think Canada wanted to get into the group of 22 or something, and the enrollment fee was to sell all of the gold in the Bank of Canada.
Yeah,
That's vague. I remember something about that at the time. So.
Well, I remember the Stephen Harper government deciding to melt down Canada's gold coins, which were worth a lot more than their face value because they were collectible, and instead just sold them as raw bullion.
I don't remember that one.
Well,
anyway.
Well, I do. I thought, if you're going to sell them off, at least get the real price for them.
Yeah.
Now, another headline here. EVs are piling up at dealerships in the U.S. despite massive taxpayer subsidies.
Oh, yeah. Now, part of that story included that the decline in EV sales were greater than the decline in ordinary car sales. So there's something, except, you know, I think the EVs have run into a head wall. They're not economic. They mess up the environment more than ordinary cars do. So that's the making of them and these batteries, and they blow up. I saw one the other day where a car just blew up in a guy's driveway, just like that. So, you know, I think as we go into a recession, government's going to have less money, and they also, in a contraction, won't be able to inflate inflation is state theft. So without currency depreciation and state theft, it's going to be hard times for government. So there will not be the subsidies for these crazy ideas such as electric vehicles. So we'll see those go away.
Well, here's a headline that just came in, Bob. The Canadian federal government has posted a $1.5 billion surplus for the first 2 months of the fiscal year. I want that money. I want that money back.
They dividend it to you.
Yeah.
For all of us, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, $1.5 billion amongst 40 million Canadians? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
Where's my rebate?
Yeah.
Headline you have here as well from... Jonathan Turley at the Daily Caller, the FBI is becoming the place where evidence goes to die.
Oh, the word crafting on that line is just so good, where with the corrupt FBI and corrupt Treasury, they're trying to, of course, run the show, authoritarians, but that phrase was because the anything against the Democrats or anything against the Biden administration gets disappeared. And that's where the line was, where evidence goes to die. Love the crafting of the line.
Now, a headline that we got from our friend Martin Straith from his Trends News Journal, or I should give it the proper title here, from the Trend Letter. And it was stocks rebound as Fed preferred inflation gauge cools to lowest level in 2 years. The U.S. official inflation rate is below 3%, yet they're still hiking rates. What's going on, Bob?
Oh, it's the usual. In a boom, Treasury bill rates go up, and the Fed follows. But I've been watching it very closely. The three-month bill had a high of 5.55, I think, and now it's sort of 5.40. So it's... The T-bill rate, which is set by market forces, looks like it's trying to top and roll over. And then when T-bill rates go down, that means the boom is over, and then eventually the Fed will follow the action in market rates of interest, and then with great fanfare, lower its administered rate. It's all a fraud and a fake and a farce, to use three words.
The Bank of Japan sends yield soaring with surprise change in rate limit. Japan's had 0% interest rates, even negative interest rates, for the longest time. Perhaps somebody could make money on money?
Yeah, get a return on money. How about that?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Is the Bank of Japan finally catching up to the rest of the world, or were they right to keep rates artificially low?
No, they were. They've been rigging the interest rate market since 1980. That was their last big boom. Remember, it was a huge
right.
The Nikkei and it was soaring, and Japanese speculators were buying property all around the world. One guy bought Pebble Beach Golf Course and sold it within 6 months and had to take something like a $400 million loss on it. I can't remember the exact numbers.
But. Well, one of Japan's biggest economic problems is a shrinking population. No one is having children there.
Yeah.
Our friend in Japan, James Corbett, says they now sell more adult diapers than they do baby diapers.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Perish the thought, yeah.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. It could be called X now. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.